Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everybody, this is Joe Lynn Turner, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hey, welcome to another edition of the Talking Metal podcast. This is Mark Striegel, and my co-host today from Mars Attacks, Victor Ruiz, the return of Victor Ruiz. How are you, man?
I'm doing good, Mark. How are you?
I'm good, man. We are all wondering where you've been.
I've been somewhere on Gendrell for the last few months.
It's a long story, right?
Yeah, really. So,
cool. Go ahead.
No, I was going to make another race reference there. We're finally past the Milky Way, and we're back on Earth and trying to get Mars Attacks back up and going, and hopefully within the next few days you'll have a new episode up there for all of you Mars Attacks aficionados to listen to.
Excellent. Now, is that the episode you and I recorded a number of weeks back?
Yeah. The idea is to start off with that episode.
Cool. And
things that are no longer pertinent.
Sorry.
And there's two other pretty cool episodes that that will follow in the coming weeks as well that are more or less ready to go. I just have to do some host wraps and do a little editing, and it should be good. So,
excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to playing two interviews for you listeners tonight. We have Adrian Patrick from the band Otherwise, a band out of Las Vegas, a city I will be traveling to in exactly 1 week, and JoLynn Turner, the one, the only, the man with the magic voice. I mean, when I grew up with Rainbow, see, I was a big Dio fan, like solo era, Victor, you know, Holy Diver and Last in Line were the albums that really wrapped me in when I was like 13, 14 years old. But to me, Rainbow was always the JoLynn Turner band. You know, that was JoLynn Turner's band. You know, I didn't go back and discover Ronnie James Dio in Rainbow until really years later. I knew Ronnie's work with Sabbath, but Rainbow, for me personally, the voice of Rainbow was always JoLynn Turner. And I was a big Rainbow fan, that 80s era Rainbow. And of course, I've gone back and I've gotten into the Dio era Rainbow stuff I went back at a later point in my life and got into that stuff. But man, JoLynn Turner's voice would just play over and over and over again on FM radio when I was growing up as a kid. This guy was just a major star, and still is in my eyes, and just has a magic rock and roll voice. And I'm so glad to finally be talking with him on the podcast after 9 years.
Hoboken's own JoLynn Turner there.
But, yeah, I know he's from North Jersey, so really from Hoboken, yeah?
Hoboken, yeah. Similar deal with me. I always go back to an old KTEL compilation that I had called Masters of Metal, and it had Rainbow on there with him singing, doing Street.
Which song? Street. Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
So, and I mean, even classic rock radio in the States, you still hear Stone Cold and you still hear Street of Dreams every now and then. So obviously his time period in the band, I think for most people, it outshines what Dio did, unfortunately, due to the fact that it was more popular at the time, probably.
Yeah, it was definitely more popular and more accepted by the mainstream and really made Rainbow a household name, as well as Yngwie Malmsteen. I mean, Yngwie, you know, all us underground metalheads knew about Yngwie, and all us crazy guitar player freaks knew about Yngwie. But, you know, the song that really put Yngwie on the map as far as, you know, the more mainstream crowd goes was Heaven Tonight. And I tell Joe Lynn in the interview you're going to hear with him, you know, that's a song I still hear all the time. I just heard it on Sirius within the last, like, week and a half.
Was such a great album too, the one that he did with Yngwie. And I actually, yeah, similar to what you're saying with Rainbow, I heard the live album first. So I remember seeing the video for Heaven Tonight on, you know, on MTV. But I remember coming over here one summer to Spain and picking up the live album on cassette and playing it to death because I absolutely loved his vocals on that. And there are a lot of the classic songs that he did that when I listen to them, you know, on the vinyl or the studio version, excuse me, it just wasn't the same because it didn't have his voice on some of those tracks. Even if he originally didn't sing on them, he just took those tracks to another level.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And on that note, let's get into some classic Rainbow. This is going back to 1981. I Surrender, Joe Lynn Turner, Ritchie Blackmore, and Rainbow.
Whoa!
That was I Surrender by Rainbow, featuring Jolynn Turner on vocals from 1981, a song that was written by Russ Ballard, which is a good segue into what I did last night, Victor. Russ Ballard, of course, not only wrote that song you just heard, he wrote God Gave Rock and Roll to You, Part 2 with Kiss. He wrote album or songs for Peter Criss's records like Let Me Rock You, Some Kind of Hurricane. He wrote a song that Paul Di'Anno and Neil Murray covered called, or I don't know if they covered it or just did it. I don't know if it had been released before, but they did it in their super group, which featured members of Def Leppard and Iron Maiden, called Gog Magog. And that song was called I Will Be There. He also wrote New York Groove, a song I heard live in concert last night, and off the Fraley's Comet album, the first one, he wrote Into the Night, a song that Ace did not play last night, which leads us to a quick discussion on the opening of the Ace Frehley tour last night in New Brunswick, New Jersey, your old home state, Victor. And it was great. I had a lot of fun at the show. And I don't know if you saw the set list, Victor, but he's pulling out lots of non-Kiss songs and throwing them back in the set, stuff he hasn't done for years.
Yeah, the set list looked really, really cool. I mean, I got to see him a few years back when he kicked off his short Anomaly tour. But this set list, I mean, just seeing Lost in Limbo and Too Young to Die on there, I mean, those two tracks, I mean, that Trouble Walking album to me is my favorite Ace solo album.
And I got to tell you, those two songs that you just said were two highlights. And I wasn't completely surprised by either, because John had kind of hinted that they were rehearsing Too Young to Die. And when I recently saw Richie play a solo gig, he opened up with Lost in Limbo. And that was the song that they opened up with last night. Went right into Give Me a Feeling. They did Toys after that. And again, this was their first show, so there were a few minor glitches, like the song Change off the new Ace record. They went to do that, and the guitars were not tuned right. Ace did not look happy. They started playing, and just wasn't happening. It was all out of tune, because Ace, he was yelling something. I could hear him going, drop D, drop D. And I don't know if that meant the guitars should have been in drop D, or they handed him a guitar that was in drop D and that was wrong. But whatever. And then the bass player came back and was just ripping apart the roadie, kind of scolding him. But so there was that little minor kind of catch. And he was planning to play 2 hours, but because of union rules, he had to cut that short, which meant he cut a couple songs from the encore. And if you look at the set list that I posted, a little cell phone shot of the actual set list that was sitting on stage, you'll notice he did not do Detroit Rock City or Deuce. He just strictly did Cold Gin. It was supposed to be all three of those songs for an encore. So he did have to cut it a little short, but they sounded good, and just a great band. Really encourage everybody to go see them when they come through your town.
Awesome. Very envious that I probably will not be able to see Ace on this tour, but I do have Space Invader on vinyl. So.
Oh, nice. Cool. Well, let's get into a little more Jolynn Turner right now. This is One Common Law by Mother's Army.
There's a voice in my head. It just won't go away. Seems obvious, but the question still remains. The question still remains. Sometimes when I dream and come out.
force of heaven and no threat of hell. Just one light of knowledge and one common law. Ah, 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 one common law. Ah, 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 ah. There's no shadow at nightfall, no reflection of time. So just tune out and free my mind.
What you just heard there was One Common Law by Mother's Army. That was released in 1997. That project had Carmine Appice, Jolynn Turner, and actually featured Jeff Watson, the former Night Ranger guitarist, who was supposed to be one of the guitarists that was going to be part of the Rated X project that Jolynn Turner and Carmine Appice are currently a part of.
Yes, yes. And they ended up getting Carl Cochran in to play on most of the album, not all the album. Carl, of course, wrote with Ace Frehley. A lot of Ace tie-ins here tonight. And also played with Ace for a while. So definitely do yourself a favor and check out Rated X. It's good stuff. And so Jeff Watson was part of Mother's Army. He was in Night Ranger, and you heard he was supposed to be part of Rated X.
Yeah, I looked up on Blabbermouth just to figure out who exactly was in the band. I knew that Carmine and Tony Franklin were in it, but I wasn't sure who the guitarist was. And the first news release on Blabbermouth said that Bruce Kulick was the guitarist. Then
right.
The next release said that it was Jeff. And then finally it said Carl was the guitarist in the band. So
cool.
Well, Carl did a place.
Yeah, absolutely. Carl did a great job on the record. You guys definitely got to check out the Rated X record. We're going to hear from Jolynn Turner in just a few minutes. I wanted to mention that Mother's Army band with Carmine and Jolynn and Jeff Watson also featured Bob Daisley on bass. So we're going to hear from Jolynn in a few minutes, and then later in the show, we will hear from Adrian Patrick from the band Otherwise. And what else did I want to mention, Victor? So let's talk about Mars Attacks. You said the next episode will be the one that I'm on. And when do you expect that one might be posted?
Hoping it will be ready next week. So, I mean, we're recording this on Friday the 14th. So I'm hoping that it will be released at some point during the week of the 17th of November. So.
Excellent. And guys, you can listen to all Victor's podcasts on TalkingMetal.com in the Mars Attacks section. The best way to support what Talking Metal does is with a PayPal donation on our site. You can do that. Just go to TalkingMetal.com and you'll see the PayPal tab. I also think a great way to support what we do is to use the Amazon links. They open up your Amazon page, and then you just go ahead and make your purchases from there. Nothing cost any more than it normally would, and we get a kickback on it. It's great. And the Christmas holiday season is coming up, so I know a lot of you guys will be shopping on Amazon. Please consider using our Amazon link. Again, just one extra step, and that's going to talkingmetal.com. Before you go to Amazon, use our link to take you over to Amazon. And that's that. And on that note, let's get into a little Rated X. This is a little sound sample. We encourage you to go buy the full record. This song is called Get Back My Crown. This is just classic Joe Lynn Turner right here. And you will then hear from the man himself here on Talking Metal. Hey, this is Mark Striegel of Talking Metal, and on the line we have the one and only Joe Lynn Turner. Joe, how are you?
Good, Mark. How about yourself?
I'm good. Thanks so much for joining us today. I'm excited to talk to you about the new record, Rated X. Let's get right into it. This is a true, to me, it has that true Joe Lynn Turner, the classic sound that you've done in the past, but yet it kind of has a fresh spin on it. Let's talk about the project. How did it come together?
Well, Frontiers, I know I have a relationship with them for a long time, and Serafino had asked me, he said, you know, we need a really great band to showcase the vocals and for you to do something else. And I said, yeah, okay, you know, I'm all into it, but I was touring so much at the time, you know, just as a solo artist, and I just took a couple of months for me to really realize what was happening. So I spoke to him again. And then I took 2 weeks off, and next thing I know, Carmine is up at the Frontiers office in New York here. So he called me and just said, hey, Joe, you know that band you want to do? I'm in. And I went, Carmine, perfect. I said, I've been meaning to give you a call, because I work with Carmine in Mother's Army, which was one of the most underrated bands on Earth.
Right.
Just to slip that in there for your listeners, because go check out Mother's Army, guys.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, yeah, really. So, we had him, and I said, what about Boone Franklin, you know, Blue Murder, the whole thing? And he just said, perfect, let's give him a conference call. So we called Tony, and we explained our passion about it and what we wanted to do, and he was totally on board, because the three of us have always wanted a band to call our own, because we all do side projects and different recordings with different things and people and so on and ours. So this could be our band. And that's the same requirement we had for a guitar player. He had to be committed, because a lot of people make projects and they never last, and it's a one-off or two records or whatever, and we wanted something that lasts. So that's how it got started, and we went through several guitar players, Bruce Kulick, Jeff Watson, but they couldn't make the commitment.
Right.
So I worked with Carl Cochran on my solo albums. He's an amazing guitar player. He's a star waiting to happen, and great writer, everything, total no ego, no BS. And I just said, Carl would be perfect to fill in this record. So he played seven tracks in and suffered a stroke.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
I'm trying to capsulize all this. Yeah, this is pretty heavy duty. I was on tour with Alice Cooper in Germany in March, and that was when it happened. And I got a Skype call from Carmine, and just heartbroken. And now we're doing benefits for Carl, and he's really progressing, just so if anybody's interested. He's really progressing, and it's a long road, but we're doing benefits for him to offset the medical costs. As you know, today it's pretty expensive, and et cetera. But we have every faith that he will return, because we know other people with the same situation that have a full facility. But I don't think it's going to be in time for us to go out on tour. So my friend Niccolo Cazza from Brazen Abbott is a true virtuoso.
And
in my opinion, pretty much was the only guy that could finish this record, because that's what we needed. Everybody on their own instrument, what have you, is pretty much, in my opinion, a virtuoso in that respect, quote unquote. And Niccolo finished the last four tracks, and he did it brilliantly. And we'll probably, most definitely, actually use Niccolo for the tour, because he's fantastic. But of course, Carl had that spot. Carl's on the record. His name is on the record, you know, as the main guitar player. But until he's 100%, we have to go outside of that.
So that's
how it started. And
as far as the record goes, you mentioned, you know, the guitar player who's coming in for Carl, his name again?
Niccolo Cazza from Brazen Abbott.
Okay, cool. And now Niccolo played on what songs on the Rated X record?
It's really funny. I don't have it all in front of me, but I know he played on Maybe Tonight. I know he played on Don't Cry No More. I know he played on Stranger in the Soul. That's three out of four.
Right.
And I know there's one more. I believe it was Peace of Mind.
Cool.
But anyway, I can't think of it right now. I've just been doing about 100 interviews today, so my brain is a little bit disturbed.
Yeah, no worries.
But anyway, yeah, it's brilliant stuff, and it's all on the sleeve of the CD, and it's all listed properly, and credit where credit is due. And I just can't tell you how much passion we really put into this record, all of us.
Yeah, you can definitely hear the passion when you're listening to the record. And one other question about the musicians on the record. Who's handling the keyboards?
Our producer, Alessandro Del Vecchio. He is a staff producer for Frontiers. He's done Hardline and a whole bunch of bands. I mean, you know, and he's a great musician, singer. He plays keyboards, guitar. He's a utility guy. And he co-wrote a lot of the songs. So he was very effective. I love Alessandro. He's terrific. And he's going to be playing keyboards with us live.
Excellent. And when you're out touring live, would you expect that you'd be dipping into other songs from your back catalog, from Carmine's back catalog, from Tony's back catalog that you might want to play live?
Yeah, we already anticipated that. And I think we should do at least one or two songs from our pasts. And I mean, we can dip into, you know, the Vanilla Fudge for Carmine. You could even, he's got a heavy metal version of Do You Think I'm Sexy from Rod Stewart. He co-wrote that with Rod.
Right.
And we did it at the first benefit for Carl, and it is heavy. And I'm telling you, people would really dig this, because it's nothing like the disco hit at all, you know, and it's cool. So yes, that's, to answer your question succinctly, yes, we will be doing one or two songs from each of our back catalog, you know, sort of as the cherry on top. But most of our set will be Rated X, because it's just so powerful. These songs translate live. We didn't use any production techniques or tricks. Everything is played by five people, playing their instruments and putting their hearts and souls into it.
Excellent. And do you think you'll be going out and like headlining clubs, or are you looking to hook up with a bigger name artist for the live dates?
Well, that would be a wonderful connection if we could hook up with the tour. But we haven't been as lucky so far because the record just came out. And I believe we need to get some traction on this record. People need to listen to it. People need to like it. And then start creating a demand for the record, creating a demand for the band. Because promoters are already saying, we were trying to book this thing at the end of the summer, and people are saying, well, we know each of them individually, but we don't know what they sound like together. You know?
Right.
And
right.
It's a drawback, especially in this day and age when money is really tight, not only from the fans, but the promoters. It's really tight.
Right.
And you know how it is on this new paradigm that's out there. And we're hoping that by summer, say June, July, that it's going to kick in. Word of mouth is the best way, YouTube and all of the social medias. And we're getting great reactions, great reviews. So we're more than pleased that everybody loves the record. And we want to bring it to the stage and show you what we got. We think it's a new vital force in this music industry that is sorely needed.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mentioned earlier that to me it has that classic Joe Lynn Turner sound that some of us, you know from bands like Rainbow and Deep Purple and your work with Yngwie. Was there a conscious effort to kind of capture that classic sound as opposed to trying to do something maybe more like modern with the drop tuning and all that type of stuff?
Well, you know, not for anything, but we did want it to be a hard rock, melodic hard rock, classic rock. Now they call it classic rock, but the word class in it, which I think is appropriate, you know. We did want a classic rock album, but at the same time, we put a modern sound on it. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to find the guitars not heavy enough or anything. A lot of bands, you know, I was toying around with that idea. It's a good question, because I was toying around with the idea of going a bit more modern. But you know what? I mean, this is who I am's got kind of a more modern, almost Nickelback feel to it, you know. But at the same time, it's still classic rock.
Yeah.
We wanted to just show our roots. We wanted to be true to them. And we wanted to be, as the song says, this is who I am. This is a testament to individualism. And I believe that that's what we really wanted to accomplish. A lot of bands, after a while, have turned away from their original sounds and have grown with the modern quote-unquote sound or the alternative sound. That's all fine and good. Sometimes it works, sometimes it falls down flat. But this one, we weren't trying to do any of that. I could probably growl with the best of them if I want to, but right now I'm still into singing. You know, I'm still really into singing, and I'm into my roots, and I wanted to make a great album, and I think we did that. We accomplished that. And I really think people will enjoy it.
Absolutely. We definitely encourage all the listeners to check it out. Again, it's called Rated X. We'll have links up in today's show notes on talkingmetal.com. And Joe, I wanted to ask you, you know, you've done so much stuff, but obviously one of the biggest things in your career, or most known things, I should say, is your work with Ritchie Blackmore in Rainbow and in Deep Purple. Do you ever hear from that guy anymore?
Well, you don't, if you know Ritchie, you don't really hear from him, but you hear from him. You don't hear from him, but you hear from him via someone else. And yes, I've recently been in touch with people in his camp, shall we say, who say, Ritchie sends all his love and respect, you know, this and that, and I send it right back. You know, and when you congratulate him on his kids, or I should say his children, are a little older now, but when all of them was born, you know, you send an email and you get thanks back. You know, Richie's a man of few words, and he likes to keep it all private, but I'm still very fortunate that our relationship was extremely, shall we say, healthy.
Right.
It was a healthy relationship, and we really had a chemistry and a magic between us. We wrote some great songs that'll last the test of time. And we still have that mutual admiration and respect for each other. And I always want to thank Ritchie, because he gave me the leg up into the world arena and on the rock stage, you know. And he taught me a lot. He took me under his wing. He defended me, stuck by me, and I proved him right. And I will never forget that. You know, it's that kind of a relationship, almost like a tutor, a mentor.
Right.
And I was in love with him before because I was a guitar player, and Blackmore was my favorite guitar player. Still am. Many people don't know that, but Blackmore was the guy for me. So I studied all his riffs, and I'm probably the only guitar player that ever played on stage with him. I don't think there's another one. He handed me a silver anniversary Strat, scalloped by his own hands, and we started to play the Ode to Joy instrumental, and I was very proud of that because having that title, because he liked the way I play. So
nice.
It was kind of a really cool relationship we had, and it's never been destroyed, ever. And yes, I have heard from him recently, so I know it's still alive.
You know, and the music you guys made together, a lot of it is, it's just so prominent on the classic rock and the classic metal stations on Sirius. I heard Stone Cold the other day, and last week I heard Street of Dreams, and I just wanted to kind of, on some of these big songs that just still live on radio and in all our lives so many years later, I just wanted to get your quick takes on some of the songs, any memories you have working on the songs. Back in 1981, a song that you actually didn't write, but you recorded with Richie, I Surrender. Any memories of doing that song in the studio?
Oh, yeah. Memories on all three of those have a selective story behind them that is very interesting, I think, to any listener. You asked about I Surrender, so I'll address that first. I was down on my luck living in a studio apartment, roach infested in New York City. My band Fandango and RCA Records had just broken up. You know, it was the kind of band that we were big in Casper, Wyoming. Nothing bad about Casper, Wyoming, but not exactly the biggest town in the world.
Right.
And or the biggest market. So there I was down on my luck, and I got the call to go audition for Rainbow. And walked in, Richie was at the desk, and he said, okay, how do you do, mate, and all this? Go in there and sing. And that was it. It was just that quick. And I went on the mic, and I was doing a few things, and he said, can you write? And I pulled out some lyrics from my bag, and I put them together with a song or two, which later became Midtown Tunnel Vision, et cetera.
Okay.
And he said, how about this one? And they put on I Surrender, and it was already Graham Bonnet singing the backgrounds.
Oh, okay.
Not the lead, but the backs were there, right? So I said, okay. And they gave me a basic run-through of the demo that Russ Ballard had written. And I said, well, I got some different ideas about this and certain melody lines that I think I can improve upon. At least that would fit my style and see if you like them. So I took a shot at it, and I just saw their heads nodding in the studio control room. And I knew something was likable at that point. And he walked in with a couple of Heinekens and just said, hey, mate, you got the job if you want it. And I said, yeah, I need the job, you know. And the rest is history.
Nice. How
phenomenal.
How about another song that we still hear all the time on the radio today, Stone Cold?
So, Stone Cold. We had just pulled into San Savar up in Canada, right outside of Morin Heights, where the famous Le Studio is. The police were up there doing Ghost in the Machine at the time, and we were just settling into the band house and getting ourselves together and everything else, setting up equipment in the middle of the living room so we could rehearse and practice. And the police left about 3 days later, great bunch of guys back then. And the studio was across from the lake, from the house. The house was, and there was a small lake, and then the studio. And you could see the studio lights from the house, the main house, the band house. So snow on the ground, you know, winter, and me and Roger Glover were going to walk across the lake because we play hockey on it, skate all day on it and everything else, get some exercise. And we felt it was okay, but it was a particularly warm night. So we started to get towards the mill, and we heard crack, crack, crack.
Oh, no.
And he looked at me, and I looked at him, and I said, on your belly. And we kind of snow angeled our way all the way back to the shore.
Wow.
We got up, dusted ourselves off, jumped in the Jeep, and said, well, we'll never do that again. We got into the studio, and I got on the mic, and this huge snowstorm erupted. And one of the studio walls was all glass. So there were these huge icicles hanging down. I mean, like 4 feet, you know, big. they were there from the whole winter, and it was amazing. It was a real frozen kind of Arctic scenario, and here I am sitting stone cold. So the mood was perfect. The environment outside was perfect. The lights were low in the studio, and I remember ad-libbing the tag, the end of that song, just based on she put me in the deep freeze and all that, just by being inspired from the weather. And Roger was like, that's perfect. That's perfect. Leave it. It's brilliant, you know? And yeah. And that was, you know, so we use all the elements, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And Shoot a Dreams was a real, real amazing thing that happened, because that song was in three different parts. Richie likes to play his bass pedals, and I believe he had to, he gets the drummer, and he likes to get the beats, but he plays bass pedals and guitar, and that's how he basically comes up with a lot of riffs and bits. So it was up to me and Roger to cut those pieces and put them into some fashion of, say, a Abacab formula song.
Right.
And I had these three pieces, and I put them together, and that was the actual three pieces of Street of Dreams. And we were in Copenhagen, Denmark at the time at Freddie Hansen's place, Sweet Silence Studio. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night and writing a lyric. And I wrote the complete lyric, with except for a few ands and buts, as I read over it the next day, because I had this dream. And I was always having this recurring dream about this woman. And I always saw her face in my dreams, and it was really strange and freaky. Anyway, I wrote this song, and the next day I went into the studio and put the demo down of it. So when we got to record the actual track, there was a huge electrical storm and a grid pattern in where we were in Copenhagen. It's a very violent weather storm sometimes during that time of the year. And it shut the whole – Richie was in the studio trying to play a lead to it, and it shut the whole studio down. But he came in. And he sat next to me in the kitchen, and he just said, you know, I've been out there for an hour, and I'm just not coming up with what I want to come up with. He said, your vocal was just, I mean, literally, I had chill bumps when he said this, because he said, your vocal was just outstanding, and I'm trying to keep up with it. Wow. And I said, Rich, look, yeah, I went and got a couple of beers, settled him down, said, Rich, and a storm is raging now, and the power's off, so we got candles lit. And I'm saying, you just go in there and play the most melodic, beautiful solo from your heart that you can, and forget about the rest. Forget about the vocals. Just use it as a reference. Make it all part of the theme, you know. And he went in and played the most memorable, singable solo ever, and that still stands today.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just beautiful. So I got to say, man, it was quite an experience, the whole thing.
Wow, great stories. I appreciate you sharing them. And I could ask you about these songs all day, but let me just throw one more in there, and then I'll let you go. Heaven Tonight.
Sure.
Heaven Tonight by Yngwie Malmsteen, the biggest song of his career. You co-wrote that and sang on it with him. I just heard it on Eddie Trunk's show last week. It still holds the test of time. Any memories about that specific song?
Oh, sure. That's when, you know, here's the thing. Yngwie had this great track. You know, when I came to work with him, Polygram had set it up for us, and I went out to L.A. to work with him. We stayed in the band house, of course. Everybody was living there, and I said, just give me this track and let me come up with something, because I said, this is a very commercial track. And he goes, oh, I hate the commercial, you know. And I said, you're not going to hate commercial after I get done with it. I go, it's going to be brilliant. I said, because I got something already, and I hope you like it. And when I brought it in, he was a little bit weary, because he's used to all of the demons and dragons thing.
Right.
But, you know, real honestly, and I said, look, I said, this song is a hit if we do it right. And if we put all the right elements into it, it is burning. Your solo's amazing. The chord structure is amazing. We got all the true makings of classic here. And that's what happened. Heaven Tonight came out, and it just busted through the airwaves, and it was, of course, his biggest selling album. It turned the tide, where Malmsteen became a household name.
Right.
And I'm very proud of that, because I'm attached to it. And a lot of times now, and Yngwie, I love you, but you do say this, that I wrote a few sentences. Well, yeah. I still get my publishing checks from every song on the record, except the instrumental, which is fine because being that, but we co-wrote that album. Yeah. We loved that album. We enjoyed the touring. We did things that were historical, as in being one of the first rock bands to ever play the Soviet Union, even before the peace concerts.
Right. Yeah.
When they went out there, we were there before that. 11 shows, 22,000 people a night.
Wow. Wow.
It was unbelievable. And to this day, I still respect that album. You put it on now and it sounds just as great as ever.
Absolutely. Great. These have been great stories. I appreciate you sharing them with me, and we will definitely be sharing your music, Rated X, that is, the new music, with the Talking Metal listeners. What song would you actually like to play for the Talking Metal listeners off the Rated X record right now?
You know, thanks, Mark. I appreciate that. There are rock burners on this album, very a la Rainbow Purple. There's ballad, there's a lot of things. There's the single, you know, Fire and Ice is great, This Is Who I Am. But most people, if you drop a needle on a 33 and a third record, which most people don't do anymore, they only hear one cut, I think this song called The Journey to Lhasa is going to be a classic. It's our Kashmir. It's a very heavy, colorful song with a very spiritual lyric. And I think you should play that. It's not to hook the audience by any, you know, super commercial type thing. This is just a heavy song. And I think maybe that's a good way to go out.
Great. Cool. Here it is, guys. And a big thanks to
Journey
Joe
to Lhasa
for talking with us here on Talking Metal. Cool.
Hey, thanks, Mark. And thanks to all the fans that still love and support us. We really appreciate it.
The travel of life. The
What you just heard was a little Rated X. Before that, you heard my interview with Jolynn Turner. And we will shortly be hearing from Adrian Patrick. So right now, let's get into one more Jolynn Turner track. This is Heaven Tonight by Yngwie Malmsteen. That was the song Heaven Tonight by Yngwie Malmsteen and Jolynn Turner here on Talking Metal. Victor, we're going to hear one more interview from Adrian Patrick from the band Otherwise. And these guys are from Las Vegas, a city I'm actually going to be flying out to in 1 week to see the Kiss residency. And I'm also going to catch Red Dragon Cartel while I'm out there. So I'll be there 48 hours with my wife, and we are going to catch two shows. I'm pretty excited about it. Have you heard any reviews of the residency at the Hard Rock in Vegas for Kiss?
I've heard both good and bad things. I've heard people say that it was great seeing them, you know, putting on the show that they've been doing in such a small place. And then I've heard, you know, the flip side that that when they did the cruise, that they varied the set list a lot more, and that with the residency, people were expecting something along those lines, and they got more or less the typical set list that they've been playing, you know, that they played with Def Leppard and that they've been playing the last few summers. But I mean, it makes sense. I mean, you pay $3,000 to go on a cruise, you'd hope that they'd do something special.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting, though? I can see both sides of it. I do think they should mix it up and, you know, always keep certain classics in the set list. However, in Vegas like that, there's a lot of people that are probably getting comps to the show from their gambling and from the hotel they're staying in. And, you know, it's something that draws people to the casino. And I would think you probably get a lot of casual fans out there. Whereas the Kiss Cruise, those are all the diehards. So still, I would think every night it would be nice if they could take three or four of the songs and mix it up and throw in some off the path, deeper cuts. You know what I mean? Whatever. I'm still looking forward to it. I think it'll be a great time. And also looking forward to checking out Red Dragon Cartel. And also on the tip of the one more on the topic of the Kiss. One more thing on the topic of the Kiss set list. Ace's set list, I really thought was bold and daring, because again, having seen him last night, he's not just relying on the Kiss classics like he did on the Anomaly tour. It's just so many solo songs in there. And I actually wish that Kiss would take a tip from that, which I'm sure they won't, because they would never do anything like let what Ace is doing influence them. But, you know, they it would be great to see them really mix things up and pull in more songs from the 80s.
I agree with you 100%. It was funny that I read two different things on Facebook where someone said he didn't play anything off of Second Sighting, and someone else pointed out that he didn't play anything off of Anomaly. I think Ace, though, has, you know, all of his solo work, and he's got all the stuff that he's done in Kiss. It's difficult to, you know, hit on everything and, you know, promote a new album as well. And someone else said, oh, well, why is he doing Love Gun? Scott Coogan did Love Gun on the Anomaly tour as well. He did Paul's vocals almost to a T. And I mean, it makes sense. Ace has said it. He can't sing the entire 2-hour set. So they've got to switch it up. They've got, you know, Richie singing some tracks, Scott singing.
He did Strutter too, which I haven't found stranger than Love Gun. I enjoyed seeing him play it though, and fun stuff. King of the Nighttime World, he did too.
Did Chris Wise sing anything?
The bassist? No, he did not. He did not. Just Richie, the drummer, Scott Coogan, and of course Ace. And yeah, fun night. So definitely check out Ace if you happen to be out at the Residency this coming Saturday, the 22nd, in Las Vegas. Look for me and my wife. I know Joey from the Rock Strikes 10 podcast is going to be out there, so I hope to see him and say hello to him while I'm there. And any good concerts coming through Spain?
I missed out on a show last week, actually, which was Overkill and Prong, unfortunately.
Oh, two of your favorites.
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, you know, with the injury that I had not too long ago, I didn't feel that my,
right,
you know, that my health was up to it. So I sort of went by it. And also it was a hard sell on a Sunday night, getting home at like 3 a.m. and having to, you know, get your kids up at 7. So
yeah, no, I hear you. Well, thanks for joining us here tonight, Victor. I'm going to let some music get us into our interview with Adrian from Otherwise, and some music will take us out of that interview, and then that'll be it for the podcast. So Victor and I will sign off now, but you still have more to go with, again, with Adrian from Otherwise, my interview with him. And just a big thanks to Joe Lynn Turner, who's played with everybody from Deep Purple to Sunstorm to Mother's Army to Use Turner Project to Rainbow to Engve to Fandango. The list just goes on and on. I mean, this guy sang backing vocals on Billy Joel's records, Cher albums. I mean, go to his Wikipedia page. It's just mind-boggling how much this guy has done. So big thanks to Joe Lynn for joining us here on Talking Metal. And on that note, we will get into a song called Demon Fighter by the band Otherwise. We'll end today's show with a song called Darker Side of the Moon. And this is a fun interview, guys, so stay tuned to the podcast here and listen to my interview with Adrian from Otherwise. A lot of good talk about the city of Las Vegas, the city these guys are from. check it out. Talk to you next time.
Fighting down the demons with the fire in my head. You're the reason that I needed to take this final step. A test of devotion. One breath, a chance for hope. Oh, fighting down the demons with the fire in my head. You're the reason that I needed to take this final step. Break down in a bittersweet wasteland. Reach out to let it go. Caught a glimpse of a long lost innocence. One kiss, a chance for.
Hey, this is Mark from Talking Metal, and on the line we have Adrian Patrick from the band Otherwise, whose new album, the second album, is Peace at All Cost. Adrian, how are you?
Hey, Mark, what's going on, brother?
Thanks so much for joining us. Let's talk a little bit about the band. This is your second record, correct?
Yeah, our second album on a record label with a real budget and real producers and all that jazz, man.
Yeah, well, we want to talk about the producer for sure, because he's a big heavyweight. But let's talk about the band Otherwise. Give us just a little history on the band, you know, the condensed, maybe, you know, 90-second to 2-minute version of how you guys came together.
All right. Well, you know, my brother and I have been jamming together since 2004. My little brother, Ryan Patrick, is my lead guitar player and main songwriting partner. And over the years, you know, coming up in Las Vegas, the Las Vegas music scene, we had a revolving door of long-term bandmates, you know, many, many different guys at every individual position, you know, came through and spent a lot of time with us trying to break out and make a name for ourselves in an extremely competitive market like Las Vegas. And, you know, over the trial and error, we kind of weeded out the the strongest, you know, of the bunch. And Quickie, our drummer, has been playing with us since Halloween of 2010. And our bass player, Vasilios, has been with us for going on 3 years now. And our guitar player, Andrew Pugh, who's an old friend of ours, actually, who we worked in the studio with prior to signing our record deal,
okay.
Has now been playing rhythm guitar with us for a couple of years. So this is the best we've felt, the strongest and the most conducive lineup that we've had to succeed.
Excellent, excellent. And how does this second album, Peace at All Costs, vary and differ from the first album that Otherwise put out?
The first album, I guess, you know, every band, I guess, has the luxury of taking as much time as they want to write and record the songs for their first album. You know, you kind of do that over the process and of many years of leading up to signing a record deal and putting out your first professional album, you know. So I guess the one difference, the main difference, I guess I could say, for our second album, Peace at All Costs, is the fact that we wrote all of these songs, the majority, I'd say, at least 90% of the songs on this album, we wrote them at the same time, in the same batch, you know, kind of, they're all part of the same litter, you know, part of the same pride, I guess you could say. This album is more focused in its sonic identity, I would think, than our first venture, you know what I mean?
No, definitely, definitely. And I mean, sonically, it just sounds great. Let's talk
about
the sounds that you guys get on this record. You guys are working with David Bottrell. That's how you pronounce his name, right?
Who's Bottrell? Bottrell. He was telling us it's a French name, so I guess the French pronunciation would be Bottrell, but we say Bottrell as Westerners, you know what I mean?
Right, right. And I mean his catalog is just intense, from Tool, Muse, Stone Sour, Stained. I mean, this guy is a real heavyweight. I mean, you guys aren't really a household name at this point. How did you end up hooking up with this guy?
Our former management, Danny Wimmer, he reached out to David and presented us to him, and David listened to, you know, David listened to our stuff from our first album, and then of course he liked what he heard, and he was like, send me some demos on the new stuff they're working on. And so we did, and he loved it, and he was like, I really feel like I can contribute to, you know, this band's career and their trajectory, and I see them headed for great things. And it was a real pleasure working with him, you know, because even prior to signing our record deal, we worked with, you know, the so-called big name producers and, you know, guys with platinum albums under their belts and on their resumes and band who have worked with, you know, bands that we've all heard of. But David, you know, as you mentioned, he's got this extensive resume, very eclectic. I mean, from, you know, spending 20 years with Peter Gabriel at Peter Gabriel Studio in London to, you know, doing the latest Stone Sour album. You know,
wow.
He's got probably the most, I would say, varied and, I guess, for lack of a better term, like, flexible taste in music. You know?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned Peter Gabriel, because I totally forgot about that, but I seem to remember Tool, like, years ago, talking about them reaching out to him specifically because of his work with Peter Gabriel.
Exactly, you know, and David is basically the producer who discovered Tool. He did the first three Tool records. You know, those are seminal pieces of work as far as cutting edge rock goes, you know, and alternative. You know, to me, you know, that type of band, those types of artists are what truly defines, you know, alternative. That alternative sound, you know, that it's not mainstream, it's not poppy, but it becomes mainstream.
Yeah.
You know, and to work with a guy like David and have him actually believe in what we're doing was just a compliment of the highest order. It was definitely a little intimidating when we were first going into the project, but once we met him and got to know him, he put us at ease, and he became a friend and a confidant, and, you know, hopefully we can work with him again in the future. the guy was, the first day we walked in the studio, here's a dude who has all the makings of a super producer.
Yeah.
But he's like literally on his hands and knees himself underneath the board, repatching cables and plugging things in.
Wow.
And doing it himself, not having, you know, his intern or his right. engineer do it, you know. It was a really great experience working with him.
Wow, great stuff. Now, let's talk about Las Vegas. You guys are from Las Vegas. I'm in New Jersey, and I feel like, again, I'm not there in Las Vegas, but from afar, right. it almost seems like something's going on there musically. We're seeing younger bands like yourself emerge from Las Vegas, but we're also seeing some of the old-time rockers, some of the, you know, guys who are probably a few generations, a couple generations at least ahead of you guys, maybe moving from Los Angeles, coming to Las Vegas, embracing yeah. the scene. There seems to be like a rock metal scene happening there, at least from afar. That's what I'm sensing. As somebody who's from Las Vegas, what are your thoughts on the Las Vegas scene?
It's funny that you mentioned that, Mark, because, yeah, and, you know, in the past few years, we've seen this high influx of rock and rollers from other cities, you know. A lot of big names, you know, a lot of the those guys from the older generation that you're mentioning, you know, they've retired out there in Vegas, you know. And it's as far as, like, the local scene goes, you know, when we were coming up and we were cutting our teeth, you know, in Vegas, in the scene, it was extremely competitive, and it was a much heavier sounding scene, you know.
Right.
There was a lot of metal bands, a lot of hard rock bands, and then you saw the explosion of bands all of a sudden just out of nowhere, like the Killers and Panic at the Disco.
Right. Yeah.
You know, which in turn paved the way for bands like Imagine Dragons, and all of a sudden, you know, the focus now is on this, you know, dancey, electronic, you know, more pop oriented style of music, and although those bands are extremely talented at what they do, they weren't necessarily representative of what was actually going on in the scene in Las Vegas at the time.
Okay.
You know, we're kind of like the one, I guess you could say, mainstay or you know, of that Las Vegas scene that was comprised of heavier music, you know, that we were able to actually break out into a national scene.
Yeah.
And you know, kind of let people know that, look, there's other styles of music, there's other styles of rock and roll going on out there besides what you hear on pop radio.
Right,
you know?
Right, yeah. You mentioned the Killers, and even bands like Five Finger Death Punch is from out there, right? And
well, no, those guys, they live there now, but those guys moved there. Yeah, they moved
okay.
there after they'd already, you know, hit it, you know, pretty big and become, you know, a very well-known name. They moved to Vegas.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. But you can find those guys, you know, they're, you know, all of us, you know, us rocker types, you know, the harder rockers, you can find us all hanging out at shows, you know, going to the local bars. You know, we're very much still involved in the scene. You know, the downtown area has seen a renaissance, and we're, you know, you can catch us walking around and hanging out and having drinks and you know, just shooting the shit with people.
And when you talk about the local bars and stuff, like, what are there specific bars out there that you guys hang? Are there, like, rock bars? I know, you know, there's, like, a punk rock bar, Double Down Saloon, which I've been
yeah.
to. There is a
Double Down legendary, man.
Vamps, the Count's Vamps Club,
mm-hmm.
which I have not
yeah.
been to. But are there
the
other
Count,
bars?
Dan Coker, he's a friend of the band.
Okay.
Lately, we've been spending a lot of time at a place in downtown, one in particular called Commonwealth, which they support live music and the free for all kind of jam vibe. You know, anybody can get up and play, and you know, you can see some of the most talented people in the city, you know, come through there and jam.
Cool.
There's another place on the Strip actually called Boulevard, which also is it's owned by the same guys who own Commonwealth, and it's the same vibe. You know, it's all based on live music. There's always a piano player, a guitar player, somebody, you know, just making sound. And You know, the downtown area is more familiar to the locals, but with a place like Boulevard on the Strip, you know, they're bringing that same hometown vibe to the tourist crowd, you know. So there are, you know, there definitely are people out in Vegas who are trying their best to foster the live music scene, you know, outside of the casinos and the DJs and the, you know, the nightclubs and all that stuff. You know, there's places you can go to see traditional, you know, real art being created, you know, right in front of your eyes.
Cool. Good stuff. Excellent. Well, Adrian, I really appreciate you joining us here on Talking Metal. Again, the new album or newer album is Peace at All Costs. How long has the album been out, actually?
It's just over a month now. It came out September 16th. So it's going on in November. It'll be 2 months, man. So
excellent.
It's doing well. You know, every week it's its numbers are staying solid or increasing. You know, we haven't really seen it fall off yet. The new single, Darker Side of the Moon, is at radio, and it's just not giving up. It won't let go of the top 20. You know, so
cool.
It's hanging in there, man.
All right. Well, we heard Demon Fighter earlier. Should we hit him with another song? You want to play the single or something else?
Yeah, let everybody. Yeah, that's our first single is, like I said, Darker Side of the Moon, and it's basically an analogy for our hometown. You know, of Las Vegas. The neon lights out there are so bright, you know, and that they only make the shadows that much deeper and darker. And we want everybody to take a trip with us to the darker side of the moon, you know what I'm saying?
There we go. Darker Side of the Moon by Otherwise. Check them out on iTunes. And what's the official site, Adrian?
It's weareotherwise.com. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/otherwiseofficial. Twitter is weareotherwise. I think there's a Tumblr account somewhere out there that is also We Are Otherwise.
All right. We'll link all that through today's show notes on talkingmetal.com. And again, here's a little new Otherwise on Talking Metal. Adrian, thanks so much.
Thank you, Mark.
All right. Have a good night, man.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.